We've been away for a few weeks, 2 weeks, about 2 weeks, and went to the conference, then the pastor summit, and we had a really blessed time. I told the people in the first service as well, excited coming back, you know, what God wants to do, you know, not just for us, church, show for Swakopmund, but in the whole body. We had various speakers there at the conference, Brian Dirksen, Graham Kendrick, and the theme of the conference was mission and worship, you know, and it's interesting to see. If you just look at the rest of the body in the whole, how it's coming together, that people are drawing to that place of worshiping God, that we will turn our focus to that worship and missions, you know. And I believe God is not just unctioning that in our spirit, but also in other parts of the body as well. And just in the year to come, I'm excited to see what God's going to do here. How he's going to add so many more, you know. It's about not about the numbers here, but if there's an empty seat, I see a person there, and that's what we have to look at, you know. We can say, no, but it's about the numbers, but Jesus counted, he said there's 99, there's one missing, so Jesus had people in their minds, you know. Unfortunately, when the seats are empty, I've got people in my mind that they need to be filled. And we're just trusting God to do a great work in us, and you know, already what we are seeing, what's busy happening here, we can just praise God for that. But I want you to turn your Bibles this morning with me to 2 Kings. 2 Kings, the 6th chapter. From verse 24. 2 Kings, the 6th, verse 24. And then also Ephesians 3, verse 1. Ephesians 3, verse 1, and then 2 Kings 6, verse 24. Okay. Everybody there. And it happened, verse 24 of chapter 6. And it happened after this that the Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his army and went up and besieged Samariah. And there was a great famine in Samariah, and indeed they besieged it until a donkey's head was sold for 80 shekels of silver and 1/4 of a cap of dove droppings for 5 shekels of silver. Okay, bad situation. We start eating that stuff, you know. Then as the king, it's just getting worse, you're going to see. Then, as the king of Israel was passing by on the wall, a woman cried out to him, saying, "Help my lord, O king." And he said, "If the Lord does not help you, where can I find help from, or where can I find help for you? From the threshing floor or from the winepress?" Then the king said to her, "What is troubling you?" And she answered, "This woman said to me, 'Give your son, that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow.' So we boiled my son and ate him, and I said to her on the next day, 'Give your son that we may eat him.' But she has hidden her son." Bad stuff. Now it happened when the king heard the words of the woman that he tore his clothes, and as he passed by on the wall, the people looked, and there underneath he had sackcloth on his body. Then he said, "Go, do so to me and more also, if the head of Elijah, the son of Shaphat, remains on him today." But Elijah was sitting in his house, and the elders were sitting with him. And the king sent a man ahead of him. But before the messenger came to him, he said to the elders, "Do you see how this son of a murderer has sent someone to take away my head?" Interesting to see how Elijah is in spirit, you know, knowing these things even before the guy came to him. "Look, when the messenger comes, shut the door and hold him fast at the door. Is not the sound of his master's feet behind him?" And while he was still talking with him, there was a messenger coming down to him, and then the king said, "Surely this calamity is from the Lord. Why should I wait for the Lord any longer?" Then Elijah said, "Hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow, about this time, a seah of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel, and 2 seahs of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria." So an officer on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, "If the Lord would make windows in heaven, could this thing be?" And he said, "In fact," this is Elijah, "in fact, you shall see it with your own eyes, but you shall not eat of it." And then when you read the rest of the chapter, we know that there were four men that had leprosy, and they sat at the gate, and they said to each other, "Listen, if we go into the city," Because you know, remember, they were not allowed in the city when you had leprosy. If we sit here or we go into the city, we will die of hunger anyway. So if we surrender to the Syrians, they might just say, yeah, or might just allow us to live. So let's just go their side. And they went there, they got to the camp, and all the Syrians fled. God caused miraculously to hear them the sound of horses and an army coming. And they thought that Israel is, the king of Israel hired some of the other kings to come and fight against them, and they fled. And these four guys sat there and thought, oh, all the food and everything, you know, this must be heaven, you know. And anyway, long story short, they told the king, and in fact, it happened like that, that suddenly they ate for that price, or the food was sold for that price, as Elijah said. But the man who said, if God opens the window of heaven, it will not happen, he was trampled at the gate, mocked God, saying, God, you cannot do this. Even if you open the windows of heaven, this will not happen. But the verse I would like to stand still before we go to Ephesians, I just want to emphasize is where he said, in fact, you shall see it, but you shall not eat of it. In fact, you shall see it, but you shall not eat of it. Bear that in mind. Ephesians 3, verse 1 to 6. Go with me there. You shall see, not eat of it. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he has made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it is now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel. Then verse 9, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, when we got here, even before we arrived here in May, and already in February was known to us or made known to us, and we just picked it up in the Spirit, so many people shared with us that there's so many prophecies prophesied over this church, over this town, and things about to happen, which I believe is we're on the verge of that, seeing that, you know. Many mysteries, like Paul said, that's about to happen, that we will see, that we will be part of. But I just sense in my preparation this week that God is saying that it is good that all these things is, yes, it's true, and all these things will happen. But when I read this chapter in 2 Kings, it was like a warning that went up into my spirit. You know, I said to the Lord, Lord, I do not want to just see it. I want to eat of that as well. You know, this man, like Elijah said, he saw, but yet he couldn't eat of that. What do I mean with eat? To experience that. And I believe that we need to take a step back this morning before God is about to do great things, you know, with the conference which we heard, you know, a lot of things about to happen in our lives, in the town where you're working. God wants to do great things in this coming year or time. But we need to be prepared for that so that we will be able to see and eat. Not just see and not experience that. And I'm sure that the God I'm serving wants to get involved in our lives. We can just look outside there, you know. He's not on a cross this morning. He's not in a building, confined to a building. But he wants to get involved in your life, in my life this morning. But sometimes there's barriers that prohibits him from revealing his fullness. And we're about to see the unexpected in many ways. You know, in China at this moment, I think church is growing so much, but a lot of their pastors are like 14 and 15 years old, you know. Beyond our, you know, we cannot think that somebody would be mature enough to lead a congregation at that age. But God is speeding things up and he's doing things in different ways, you know, all across his body. And if we have to stand still today where we are, we just want to ask the Lord, Are we ready? Are we prepared for what you want to do? Three types of groups that I see in the body this morning. Those that see, but yet they don't see. They see, but they don't see. Matthew 13, verse 14, Jesus says, "Hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive, for the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes have closed. They have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them." He's talking about the Pharisees and the religious leaders of that time. Jesus was in the middle of them. They saw Jesus in body, in flesh, as I'm standing here this morning. They saw him, yet they didn't see him. They missed him somewhere along the line because of certain things. You know, they saw him, but yet they didn't see him. And likewise, it can happen today. We just read in the Word. It just come up to my mind, you know, that God says that sometimes he will send angels among us, and we might be blind, you know, how we treat them. And then one day we will find out that that was God that came, or the angel was actually in between us in the form of a man, you know. The point I'm trying to make this morning is that very often we can go through life blind, you know, missing God and certain things. We see, but yet we don't see. And we have to be cautious and say, "Lord, if I'm at that place this morning where I see, but yet I do not see, open my eyes." Paul talked about the God of this age that blinded your mind, talking about those people that do not believe. But I believe it can happen in church as well, that we can so often be blinded by our various things like our theology, our dogma, or our traditions, or a structure that we've, you know, put together in our own mind that prohibits God from working in a different way. And it will come in between us in a movement, in the form of people, or whatever it might be, the way he works. And then we will not experience the fullness. We will see him, but yet we do not see him. We're not eating. Mark 7 verse 8, Jesus said to the Pharisees, he said, "You nullify the word of God by your traditions." You nullify the word of God by your traditions. You know, they held on to that so much, so long, you know, and they didn't experience Jesus when he came along, you know. And many times, I'm still, you know, I was just reminded this week again, you know, of so many things in my theology that God just wants to reconstruct, you know. He was good up to a certain stage, you know, where it was okay, God had grace upon that. But did God have to reshuffle things, you know, the way I perceive him, the way I think, the way I relate? Because God wants to do a new thing so that I won't miss him. And that's why we have to worship him in spirit, not in form, according to John 4. Father is looking for those that will worship him in spirit and in truth. Because if we worship him in form, he comes around in a different form, and I miss him. I'm used to the old form. You know, and the rejection takes place when we look at the outer and not the inner. We're not tuned into that. And then the second group are those that see, but they don't eat. In other words, they recognize that it's God. They recognize, they can distinguish that this is a godly thing or person or whatever. God's hand is upon that situation, because it can be very broad this morning. It's not just a person. It's a movement. It's what God wants to do in your my life. You know, you can recognize that, but yet you do not eat that by choice. You're like Felix, you know, in Acts 24 verse 22 till 25. Paul appears before the governor Felix. Now Felix was married to a Jewish woman, and the Bible says there that the way was known to him, more known to him. In other words, he knew about Jesus. He knew about why Paul preached what he preached, you know. There wasn't just another guy here just causing an upset between the people. He had a knowledge of that. And then when Paul appeared before him and he spoke about sin, judgment, righteousness, and all those things, Felix suddenly became afraid. And he said, "Not now. Don't talk to me about that stuff now. Leave it for a more convenient time and I'll call upon you." And I couldn't help to think about that for a moment. How many of that Felix's in the body we find so often, you know. when we say to the Lord, how many times I've been at that place, you know, when I said, Lord, not now. It's not a convenient time, you know. I remember in 2005, you know, I went through a very dry period in my life in terms of the presence of God, you know, my personal walk with the Lord. And I was searching and I'm just approaching God in prayer and said, Lord, why are you so vague? Why are you so off there? I didn't experience you. And the Lord came back to me after 3 days in prayer, you know, and said to me, you know why? You're worshiping me on your terms. You just, when my spirit is there, you're telling me when it suits you, you know. And that is why God wants to, when he reveals himself to us, it's on his terms. We have to slot in with his terms. Like I shared with you the other day about Zacchaeus that came down from the tree. When Jesus said to him, make haste, make haste. We read in the word that he came down quickly. In other words, symbolically he's saying to us that he slotted into Jesus' timing, you know. He didn't have his own conditions, you know. And I had to admit, you know, that so often I've got my mindset, when it's convenient for me, you know, like with Felix. When God says, now is the time I want to work, and this is the way I want to work, I want you to perceive that. I want to experience that. I want you to eat that. I thought about this, you know, when you have children, I mean, our children are at that stage, you know, when they start to decide what they want to eat, you know. And not that we allow that. All I'm saying is they start telling you what they want. But now you as a parent would dish up for them and you think, okay, this is good food for them. They would say, I don't want that. I don't want that broccoli or whatever. I don't know what you don't like, you know. But it works the same in the body of Christ. God will dish up for you a plate that he knows that you need to eat in order to prepare you for what he wants to, where he wants to take you. And then we shove it away and say, Lord, no, I don't like that stuff, you know. And each one of us has got a different food in our plate, you know. Maybe you like the broccoli, but you don't like something else. And God will put that on your plate sometimes to form your character, to prepare you. And I don't want to run ahead with my message this morning, but to prepare you so that you can move in a different way in your life so that you can experience him. Don't miss out on him. But we cannot get the pudding till we ate the broccoli. The bad stuff. I like broccoli, actually. You know, but we have so many of those. I don't say it in a demeaning way. It's actually sad, you know. Then when I see somebody that's exposed or this, let's say, we had a situation 2 weeks ago. We went Cape Town and after the conference, friends of us, then London, her dad was seriously sick, something wrong with his liver. Anyway, I don't want to go into detail there. And long story short, he's in the process of dying, unless the Lord just do a miracle, you know. But he's not saved yet. He doesn't know the Lord. Yet he's been exposed to church and all these things. And that's the problem with church very often. It deceives you. Not the church. Religion. Let me rephrase. Religion can deceive you. Okay, not the church. Not the true relationship with God. But religion will deceive you and tell you, you're okay, you know. My parents took me to church, you know. I grew up in the church, you know. Just somebody once said, you know, just because you park a car in a garage, you know, doesn't mean. Or just because you ate at McDonald's doesn't mean you are McDonald's, you know. It's about the relationship. And anyway, so we sat there and they asked us to pray for him or went there and to go there and pray for him and just to trust the Lord just to do a miracle and pray the salvation prayer with him, you know. But I wish I could say to you that I had to do or that I could do that. That would have been such a privilege to lead someone there at that place, you know, to God. But when I started talking to him, I just sensed in my spirit that time is not right, you know. And I was saying to you, Andre, as we left there, you know, it's just sad, you know. I don't know. God's grace may be on him, you know, send somebody along that way. I hope so, you know. But the point I'm trying to make this morning is many times God gives us opportunity. We see it, we recognize it, but we move it, we shove it away. We say, Lord, not now. It's not a convenient time now, you know. And it's not just with salvation, but it's many other things that God wants to dish up on our plate and give us, you know. So, you know, I think it's good for you to go through this experience. But then we start complaining like the Israelites. And we are as close to God today as we want to be, you know. It's not God that decides that. James 4 verse 8 says, I think, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. We decide that level of intimacy this morning, how close we want to come to God. The third group is those are those that see and eat. Okay? And that is the group I believe all of us want to be part of. You know, we don't just want to hear of what God is doing. We want to see that and we want to experience that in our own lives. We want to be part of that. And there's so many examples in the Old and New Testament of men and women of God that just, they were just indulge in this whole thing, what God is doing. You know, they experienced what God was doing, you know, because they were prepared. Abram heard the prophecy about what God's about to do. I'm going to give you a son. And he didn't just hear a prophecy or a promise, but he also experienced that, you know. And that's where I want to position myself, to be prepared. Like David said, Psalm 34 verse 8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. That talks about a relationship. It talks about an experience. Not just to stand on the side and say, you know, the God has been good. No, it's about an involved in this experience. I can personally testify that God is good. And God has been moving with me in a whole new way. He's sharing, he's revealing himself to me in a fresh way. I want to be part of that. I want to eat of that. You know, we should be on the forefront of what God is doing. We should know it first. And that's why the word says in Isaiah 42, behold, the former things have come to pass and new things I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. You know, God came to Abram. He was a friend. The word says he's a friend. They had a relationship like a friendship relationship. And before he had to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, God consulted Abram. That's the type of relationship he had. That's how Abram was situated, prepared, you know. God consulted him. He knew these things beforehand. And he experienced that. Don't think it was a nice experience to see what happened there with Sodom and Gomorrah. But Isaiah 45 verse 11 says, ask of me things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands. You command me. Many prophecies have gone out, you know. They're like heaven's SMS, just reminding us of what's coming, you know. Now we know in our spirit, we know God is saying this is about to do. He's going to do a mighty work in this church. He's going to add. He's going to, you might have heard that God said to you, you know, trust, keep on praying for that person. I want to touch that person. That's like an SMS that came through, you know, God reminded you. But now you want to be part of that. You want to see how you can be involved in that salvation of that person, you know. And if we are prepared, we will eat of that. We will not just see it. Okay, how do we experience? Quickly, in 3 points, I heard on the conference, they say, this guy that preached there, Corne Becker, he said he always used to keep it to 4 points. And then he realized, I don't know, somewhere in, he preached in China that actually the word four meant something really bad and it offended the people. So he brought it down to three and people always remember three. So I'll just give you 3 points this morning. How do we expect or experience, make sure that we experience the fresh move, that we position ourselves at a place where we experience his fullness and not just see it. First of all, we have to work on our expectation. Your level of expectation is God's invitation, you know. They used to say it to us so many times back in London, you know, but it's so true, you know. When you come to a place, when you come to a Sunday, and a Sunday service, it's not just another service. It's not just something you just preach up for or with a worship night tonight. It's not just because somebody expect me to come. No, we come here with an expectation to meet the King, to experience Him, to engage with Him, you know. Not to listen to a sermon or to a song, but to engage with the King. And in John 1, we read the story of Nathanael, okay? It's not the one that, no, don't go there. Story of Nathanael. Can anything, Philip came to Nathanael, okay? And he said to him, come and see, there's a man that we heard about. It's Jesus, the man that they prophesied in the Old Testament. And then Nathanael said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And then Philip said, come and see, come and see. And then we know that Nathanael went to Jesus, and then when Jesus saw him from afar off, Jesus started commending him, said, an Israelite, a man in whom there is no deceit. And it's kind of like a contrast. You do not understand why God, this man that was so skeptic at one stage, that Jesus is actually commending him. Why? I tell you why. Because he obeyed the come and see. He realized, you know, I might have a wrong mindset, you know, but let me go and investigate. Likewise, what I'm trying to say to us this morning, many times things will happen that's a bit strange to us, you know, sometimes. Or God might work in a way that I doubt, ooh, is this God? But we'll have to go and investigate. Come and see and taste. Is this the Lord, you know? Because many times, and a lot of times, it's just us, our frame, this religious frame here, up here, that prohibits God, you know. Every one of us has got that, you know. Doesn't matter. You can tell me this morning you don't have it, you've got it, you know. God just have to come and reconstruct that thing a little bit. You know, I used to think that God is working like that, but he's not working like that anymore because I cannot box him into that. If we feed on the wrong food, I made a note here, if we feed on the wrong food, you will be saturated. And when God comes with real fresh food, you will reject it and miss it. And that's why we sometimes feed in the old food, what God did in the past, you know, and we boast upon that, you know. And God is busy preparing a new dish here on the side, and he wants to prepare or give it to you. But when you're saturated in those old stuff, you know, old food, then you miss out on the fresh move of God. Secondly, our spiritual senses needs to be fine-tuned, you know. I love hunting. And when I was still in London, you know, I used to hunt very seldom because then you're away for 1 or 2, 3 years, you know, before you come back home. And then not every time you get home, you have the opportunity to. But I realized, you know, when I was in the game, when I was doing it often, you know, you would stand in the back of the bucky. You know, pickup doesn't sound good. We all know what the bucky is, you know. You would stand there at the back, you know, and you're looking for the buck, you know, just that springbok to shoot it, you know. Your eyes are trained, you know, you can't miss it. But when you've been away and you're not in tune anymore, you will drive past it and you miss it, you know, because you're not tuned in. Or, you know, I've seen it on the farm as well. That's so beautiful, you know. We'll work with the sheep. We will separate the ewes from the lambs. And then after you've done the work that you had to do and you put them all together back in the same pen, you will see that the bleeding of that sheep, when they start bleeding, is that the right word for blood? Bleaking. How far is bleeding? Anyway. Bleating. Okay. Not a D. A T. Okay. When they scar blair. When I lammerkie blair and he way blair. Then herkennen hulle mekaar se stem. They're different, yet they recognize, you know. And all the sheep you will hear, for us it will sound the same. But that you recognize the voice of a lamb, you know. And likewise the lamb of the mother, you know. And that's with God. Our spiritual senses need to be so in tune. When God, when the master speaks, when he thinks, when he whispers, we recognize at that moment, you know. In the midst of all these voices, everything out there is trying to get our attention, you know. Out there. So much information out there today, you know. Much more than about 50 years, you know. Everything's trying to get your time and your attention. But when he talks, I hear it. I recognize it. They tell me the story about somebody that made an experiment in New York. The guy said to the one guy, he said, can you hear the birds whistling out, singing out there, you know? And he said, no, I cannot hear it, you know. It was in the middle of New York, you know, was busy, cars driving past, people are walking, you know. People just didn't recognize that little bird singing out there. Then he said to him, I'll show you what. And he took out a coin and he dropped it on the ground. And suddenly when he dropped it, 10 people turned around, you know, and look around, you know. But the point he tried to make was, you will hear what your ears are tuned into, you know. And nobody heard the bird, but they heard the coin, you know. But our ears need to be tuned into God as well, to his voice, you know. That the moment he talks the first time, we recognize his voice, you know. It doesn't take him long to get our attention. Okay, I almost missed my place. No, Hebrews 5 verse 14. But solid food belongs to those who are full of age. That is, those who by reason of use have the senses exercised to discern both good and evil. We need to train our spiritual senses, you know. Train them. It's okay if we sometimes make mistakes, you know. Between me and God, you know. If as long as our hearts are pure towards God, and you know, we don't want to manipulate people or whatever with that. It's just a thing of training us. We're going to get it wrong sometimes, you know. But then we're just going to say, sorry, you know, I missed the Lord there. It's a mistake. It's not God that lied, because God is not lying. It's just me that didn't hear the Lord correctly. But God's grace is upon that, you know. And you will land on your feet always. The last one, renewal, that needs to take place. We say to each other, our expectation needs to be raised. We need to have expectation. Secondly, our spiritual senses need to be tuned in. And thirdly, that needs to take place, a renewal needs to take place. Jesus spoke about new wineskins. When new wine is being poured into old wineskins, the wineskins will burst and the wine will spill out. What is he trying to say here? He's talking about us when we are when new mysteries are revealed to us, when God comes, like Paul said, and this mystery is revealed to us, and we are not prepared, spiritually prepared, we will not be able to comprehend that, and we will miss the fullness. We will treat that as common, as just another something that's happening, and we miss, and we will not be rewarded with that experience of experiencing that new thing, you know. We will not be rewarded and be able to say, we ate of that. Jeremiah 48 verse 11 says this, Moab has been at ease from his youth. He has settled on his dregs and has not been emptied from vessel to vessel, nor has he gone into captivity. Therefore his taste remained in him, and his sins has not changed. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I shall send him wine workers who will tip him over and empty his vessels and break the bottles. Okay, he's talking about change here. What they used to do in Bible times, in order to purify the wine, they would put them into jars, and then they would leave them for the impurities to go to the bottom. And then once that is cleared, they will take that wine and put it into a new jar. And the same process allows that process, just that wine just to stand there for a while, and then allow that impurities to go to the bottom, you know. And likewise, God is talking about that to us as well this morning, that many times God has to take you through a process of change, continuous change. That's what happened with the Israelites in the desert. They continuously had to go through a process of change, because in that changing process, purification took place. Because that's the place where we're out of our comfort zone, where, you know, where all the ducks are in a row and we are in control, you know. But God sometimes has to take you to that uneasy place where it's not, you know, I'm not so much in control, but I have to trust God, you know. Today, I'm at the water and I just want to camp, you know, and we make a big party here like the Israelites. But the Lord says, pull up your tent pegs. It's time to go on, to move on, so that I can purify you, you know. Let's thank God for change in our lives this morning. I don't know where you are this morning, but, you know, change is necessary for us to purify us and to prepare us so that God can do a great and mighty work with us. Let's all stand. We're just going to trust the Lord this morning just to do a mighty thing in the Spirit this morning, you know, so that we were able to see and taste and eat of what God is about to do in this town, in this church, you know, in your life, and not miss him. Let's close our eyes. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just come to you this morning and we recognize, Lord, that so often we miss you, Lord. We see you, Lord, but yet we do not see you, Lord. Oh, Lord, we see you, but we do not eat, Lord, because we've got certain preferences. And Father, we just want to lay that down at the cross this morning, Lord. We want to repent of that, Father, when we missed you so many times, Lord, because our hearts were not at that place where we could experience the fullness, Lord. But Father, we know that in these coming days and weeks and months, Lord, that you want to do a great work, that you want to do so many things. And Lord, we want to eat of that. We want to experience that. We want to make it our own, Lord. We pray this morning, Lord, that you will just come and raise our level of expectation. Father, if we came here, Lord, without expectation this morning, Father, I pray that you will just help us, Lord, that whenever we come into your presence, Lord, that every time we will have an expectation to meet with the King, Lord. And then, Lord, also our spiritual senses, where we've grown dull this morning, Father, we pray that you will sharpen that again, Lord, that when we hear your voice, Lord, we will be able to react, we will be able to recognize that, Lord, and know, Lord, that it's you that's talking. And Father, last I want to pray, Lord, that you would just come and renew those wineskins of us, Father. When you pour new wine into us, Father, we will be ready to contain that, ready to enjoy that. Father, I see, like Elijah was in that mountain, on Mount Carmel, Lord, facing all the Baal prophets, Lord, and afterwards, Lord, we know that he sent his servant to go and look for the rain, because he said, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain, Lord. And for seven times, Lord, I know that your word says that he kept on sending him back. Every time the servant reported, Lord, there's nothing. But Elijah knew in his spirit, Lord, that there's something coming. And he kept on sending him back, Lord, until he came back with the message, there's a cloud as small as the hand of a man. And then he knew, Lord, that he had to prepare. And Father, I believe and I sense in my spirit, Lord, that there's about clouds to come on the horizon, Lord. Clouds of rain that's about to come, that we're about to experience, Lord. And Lord, we want to run back and go and prepare ourselves, Lord, so that when the fullness comes, Lord, that we will experience that rain, that we will be able to say, like David said, come and see, taste that the Lord is good, Lord. That fullness, Lord. My prayer is this morning for every single person here this morning, Lord, that we will be able to testify, Lord, that you've been involved in our lives, Lord. It will not just be second-hand information, but Lord, that you will be involved in new ways, that you will come in these coming days and weeks and months, Lord, and just come and reveal yourself, Lord, in a fresh way to every single person. Father, I pray mysteries to be revealed to every person this morning, Father. Open our eyes, open our ears, our hearts ready to receive it, to perceive that, Lord, and to contain that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.